is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, it's Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh, hi there, it's Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies.
It's Alonzo, and I can't believe we're almost out of Hallmark Christmas movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast. Wow, everybody. Wow, it's wild. It's wild around here where we are. Only a few more left to go.
Are you just a little bit of a Johnny Carson there? You had your finger up here like,
really wild stuff.
It is. That's wild, a good Johnny Carson. Whoa. Look at you, man. Boy.
Can come over to the couch anytime, pal.
That's right.
Man, it is wild. We are coming to a home stretch.
This is it.
It's Christmas week.
Our last Lifetime Uncorks tomorrow. Then after that, Thursday, Friday, all in, all done. We do, for those of you asking, some of you have been asking about, I believe it's every time a bell rings.
Every time a bell rings, which is getting rave reviews.
Rave reviews. We are going to cover that one. We're just not going to cover it before Christmas.
Yeah.
But it'll get done.
We will get to it.
We'll get to it.
We would say next week, but we don't want to make any promises.
We don't want to make any promises.
Because you know what? Quite frankly, we might not feel like it.
Yeah, and also we typically take that week off. It is a fairly sacred week around here. We don't do anything.
Okay, so. Can I shamelessly plug something?
Please do.
On a program that I do called Maximum Film, we are doing an Every Time a Bell Rings episode, and it's going to drop on Christmas Eve.
Oh, why don't we just release that over here?
I mean, good gosh.
You're a part of Deck the Hallmark? Come on. Come on.
You know, ours is it's a little racier than you guys. Y'all traffic in a very hard G-rated kind of space.
Is there any reason you guys chose that one to do?
Well, you know, they thought it would be fun to do a Hallmark movie because, you know, we wrote this book and all.
Oh, yeah.
And, because the whole thrust of our show is films that aren't necessarily looked at from a, you know, straight white male perspective. No offense.
How dare you? How dare you?
And since the movie we're talking about tonight hadn't aired yet, I thought, well, this has lesbians. Let's do it.
Ah, got it.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I didn't
about
know
it.
That. I didn't know it. I didn't know it had the same storyline.
You sit on. You're leaving money on the table with this.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I promise. Alonzo, for people that maybe don't listen to Deck the Netflix.
Are we still introducing Alonzo Giraldi on this show?
I just want to say there are some people that say, hey, I'm only going to watch, you
but
know,
he's
watch
been the
Hallmark.
On Deck the Hallmark
I understand. I'm just saying he hasn't been on Deck the Hallmark since the first
since
few
marathon.
Episodes.
Mm.
Since the marathon.
There are some people that don't listen to the Saturday episodes is what I'm getting at.
I got you.
Mm. So how are you?
I'm good.
How have your weekends been?
My weekend, they've all been stunning. No, I feel like we're doing a real alpha and omega here of the whole countdown to Christmas.
Yes, we are.
I began it with you guys, and now it's the last weekend, and I'm back.
So. That's right.
It's been good. It's been crazy. It's been, I've been very busy on a lot of podcasts talking about the wonders of our wonderful book, I'll Be Home for Christmas Movies. Still available. Still a great gift.
It is still a great gift. And you can still get it quickly.
Yep, so. You can still get.
That's exactly
before
right.
Christmas.
Before Christmas.
I think you probably can.
There is time.
There is time. That's right. That's exactly right. What's it like being now a bestseller author? Because it's been just a whirlwind.
It's been pretty breathtaking. I'll tell you, I was eating my heart out not being at ChristmasCon this year because clearly you guys were just the bells of the ball. So everybody was, I could tell, Hallmark fans and Hallmark celebs alike were just delighted to be in your presence. So guys, I'm sorry that I missed that reflected glory.
I mean,
there's a lot of reasons, by the way, to sign up for Bramble Jam Plus. Yeah. One, we are, of course, going to do our year-end episode with Alonzo where we give our top five, bottom five. Can't wait. By the way, where are you? How are you on your watching? Are you caught up?
I got a little bit of catching up to do.
Okay, well, you got some
I haven't quite ever caught up from Thanksgiving, so
that's when they get you.
I'm still swimming upstream, but I will be ready. Y'all will give me a deadline, and I will be ready.
But you do you like most sane people don't watch all the Thanksgivings, but then you know as December's going, you're watching some new ones and stuff. Or do you have to watch them in order?
I try to watch them in order, but obviously that didn't entirely happen, but it just, between book stuff and, you know, just my usual year end, you know, having to do lists and award season, blah, 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 this year has gotten away from me a little bit because frankly, as our good friend Sleepy Kitty Paws has pointed out, there was a 400% increase in made for TV streaming Christmas movies this year. That's compared to 5 years ago. So like, I'm losing my mind. I don't know how y'all do it, but kudos for having survived this season.
You said there's one reason to join Brain
yes,
Jam Plus.
But but then also join All Access, because we were talking about Christmas Con, we've talked about it with the Double Deckers. I'm sorry, the All Access members on Lunch with the Boys.
This week.
And dishing on some stories.
Stories
that maybe aren't going to be dished out for everybody.
No,
not for the general public. Okay,
no, but some, you know, hangout seshes with the boys and maybe a little tea hines and some stories that you can't hear anywhere else. Man.
And also, Alonzo, you did miss out. It was quite a treat.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
I'm sure I did. 2022.
We're trying to find a way to weasel our way out to Pasadena
in July or August.
Yeah.
But it's just a lot. There's a long country.
We're trying not to lose money is what we're trying to do.
I can put one of you up in our guest room.
Ooh. Listen, it's more like the getting all of the just the crap out to California.
Can you put up a few hundred t-shirts and books in your guest room?
In lieu of one of you, yes, absolutely.
We were like, maybe we could just like print a bunch of one shirts the out other. There and yeah. then they just get stored and it's
that's right.
Like, I don't know. We'll
make a bed out of the shirts. I'm just sleeping.
Dare to dream. All right. The Christmas House 2, Deck Those Halls.
Deck Those Halls.
I am excited.
We've had one other true sequel this holiday season, or is this the one? Not counting Godwink.
I don't remember.
Is this it? Is this the only like true sequel we have this year?
I think so.
Maybe.
Someone's going to crack
The two sister swap movies, obviously.
That's true. Let's talk about it. The Christmas House 2, Deck Those Halls, originally aired on December 18th, 2021. And it went a little something like this. I've got good news, everyone. Handsome Justice is back.
Thanks, Trace.
How dare you, first of all? And also, thank you. Mike's girlfriend, Andy, is there on sets. And they're talking about how excited they are to have hiatus from shooting and to spend Christmas together and all that good stuff. His manager tells him that he's been chosen to be on Deck Those Halls, which is basically like the Great American Light Fight that airs here. It's, big, I wrote that and now I'm not so sure. On top of all that, Mike is trying to buy a ring for Andy. So Mike doesn't really want to do Deck Those Halls. He just wants to, hang out with the family, focus on the engagements and all that stuff. But the whole family's all about Deck Those Halls. Deck Those Halls, let's deck them. And so they decide that they're going to go for it. But then they find out that the other competitor who's from some show and he's got abs, he had to drop out. And so Matt's manager has an idea. Brandon, your brother, should decorate the house next door, and you guys should compete against each other. It'd be fun, like brother competition situation. And boy, are they competitive. To add to that stress, Noah's dad, Zane, keeps just showing up unannounced, bragging about punching sharks and whatnot. Classic Zane. Then Brandon and Mike get into a huge argument about who is the king of Christmas. And so they place a bet that the winner of this competition will be the official king of Christmas and will have the rights to the Christmas house. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. They go to their parents' play, but they end up getting kicked out after fighting over the armrest. And out in the lobby, they hash through some things. They come to terms with one another, and they hug it out. You always hug it out, boys. Isn't that true?
True.
It's the night of the big special or season finale. Again, not sure. And Zane is there looking on, looking like a sketch ball. And Mike and Brandon give an impassioned speech about their parents and how they are the reason the Christmas house exists in the first place, and they apologize for messing up their weird play. And they go, and we get to see the tour of the houses, and they all look great, and there's cookies and stuff. And they announce that Brandon won.
Hey! Whoa!
Take that, Mike. But then the magician Santa, you guys remember him from like the first one and earlier in the movie? He shows up and he gives Noah, the kid, the engagement ring to give to Mike. And so Noah brings Mike the ring in a very discreet way in a bag with a cape in it.
The cape from the first movie.
Yeah. So, you know, really hush-hush. And he ends up proposing, and they say yes. And then Brandon and his husband announce that they're moving home. They're going to move, I think, into next door. It's all exciting. And the magic Santa walks by and winks at the camera, and everyone's happy and kissing. And that, my friends, was the Christmas house to deck those halls.
Wow.
That's exactly right.
Did it. We did it.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll come back and we will share our thoughts on this movie.
I would love to
do that. And I believe 7.5 segments.
Ooh, we have time for Star Spangled?
I forgot about that one. Eight okay. and a half. Here on Doug Goldberg. Ah, dadgummit. I hate the doctor.
Yeah, me too, Brian. Mm.
Every day, yeah. I sit at my house and I think, what do I got to do to get a doctor back in my life?
Well, you certainly don't need to drive to the doctor's office, sit in that waiting room for forever, and see the doctor or whoever's in that day.
Can I call?
Wouldn't it be nice if you just had some sort of virtual way to see a doctor in person without leaving the comfort of your own home?
Good news, guys.
Oh, thank God, Trace.
ZocDoc. ZocDoc is an app.
Yeah.
That allows you, it's the easiest way to find a doctor and instantly book an appointment. It doesn't matter who you're looking for. Physician, dentist, dermatologist, a chef? I made up that last one. You can't book a chef in ZocDoc. What if you could? Personal chef? ZocDoc, call me. I think what Trace is trying to get at here is that ZocDoc's great. And you can go to ZocDoc.com/Hallmark to download the ZocDoc app today for free.
Unbelievable.
100% free. Millions of people are using ZocDoc to get back into the doctor's office to make sure that they're all healthy and happy. ZocDoc's fantastic. Super easy. I've used the app. It's great. And you can do it too. All you got to do is go to ZocDoc.com/Hallmark to download the ZocDoc app today. That is ZocDoc.com/Hallmark. And don't forget, the entire holiday season is brought to you by Philo. It is not too late to sign up for Philo. Mm. In fact, I would say it's the perfect time to sign up for Philo. It's Christmas week, and you can go on there. They have movies that are on demand that have been airing over the last few days that you can watch, or you can start adding things to your DVR and saving them, and they will just start saving. And it's unlimited DVR.
It'll just start saving.
Just start saving stuff. You're like, oh,
and you're going to save some money.
That's exactly right. By going to philo.tv/DTH, you're going to get 25% off 2 months. That is philo.tv/DTH. You get 25% off DeMarge.
You're going to have to forgive me because I just realized in the last 60 seconds that what I thought ZocDoc did, they do not do.
What do you mean?
I thought it was a way to have like a telehealth.
Department. No.
So all of my material for that ad.
No, but it was right. You didn't say anything incorrect.
Yeah, I did. I was like, you don't want to drive over and sit in a waiting room?
You know, but you don't have to do that to schedule an appointment.
That's true. But you wouldn't have to do that anyway to schedule an appointment.
But the point stands the same.
Does it?
It does.
Okay.
I think it was fine.
I think I'm now more. Entire time I was just like,
was the doctor on the phone?
But here's the thing. You can probably schedule that through the ZocDoc app.
You can schedule a telehealth.
Probably.
Well, I hope so.
Because
certainly hope so.
Yeah.
You still thought it until I said something.
What should you do?
And you're saying we can't get a chef.
That's right. I'm very confused.
Can't get a chef.
If I can't ZocDoc a chef, what good is it?
I thought that's what the Zoc was. You know how chefs are always like, Zoc this, Zoc that.
I saw Chef ZocDoc live. So good.
Hey, guys, I'll just say this. I think we can all agree ZocDoc's great.
It's amazing.
And we're going to be hearing from them every month
for the next year.
So,
that's right.
They're great.
I love it.
They're wonderful. I just was confused at how great they were.
Yeah, absolutely.
I blame Tracy. I don't know.
That's on me. they thought about calling it, instead of telehealth.
Yeah.
They thought about calling it Trace-a-Health.
Trace-a-Health. Health bad. Trace.
Hey, guys, let's get into the movie.
Okay.
Christmas House 2. Deck those halls. And let's start with you, Panda. The hot take.
Yeah.
We'll do this later.
Good luck. Okay.
Hot take. What do you think about Christmas House 2? Deck those halls.
Yeah. So this is a whoop moment. Broke into my top 10.
Wow. Okay.
It's number 9 for me. And there's several reasons for that. I love movies that have quick, witty dialogue. This movie has lots of really funny lines in it. I love the plot of this. They were able to do more, I think, relationship building between the family members as a result of not having to focus so much on the love story and the love element of that. And that was really nice. We've been saying all year, like all Christmas season, that you don't necessarily need to lean as hard into the romance. And so you have a really compelling story about the brothers and their back history and their story there. And that's really fun. I have a lot of wait what's. There's a lot of really confusing things in this, but overall, I really, really, really enjoyed this movie. It was a lot of fun for me and laughed a lot, had a really good time, would totally watch it again.
Alonzo.
Was the woo-woo. That was just the sound.
Broke into my top 10 when it breaks into my
top 10. That's the top 10 woo-woo, which we have not heard all until year.
No. It just happened. Okay. We just got
the rights.
That's on my, that's
the woo-woo has been, it's a.
Franny woo-woo owned it.
Franny woo-woo did own it.
Licensed it to us. Again,
Panda finally put the batteries in, and now
it was a lot more money than I can't believe we spent that.
We should not have. ZocDoc coming in clutch.
ZocDoc coming in clutch.
For something, at least.
Alonzo?
Yeah, I was entertained. I liked the first one. I thought it was funny. Like, you know, again, with these movies, I think they call a lot of them rom-coms, but very few of them are genuinely funny. And I think both of these movies have managed to elicit some actual laughs. I liked the sibling dynamic in the first movie, and I thought they found a fun way to make that the springboard of the plot for this one without like stretching it too far. I mean, maybe a little much, but not too far. Sequels are tricky because it's like, well, okay, now what? But I think they figured out a way to sort of keep us interested in what's going on. I thought it was interesting that they actually kind of jump ahead a couple of years, even though the first movie just came out last year. But that sort of gave them some more to play with, although it does bring up some wait what's, which I'm sure we'll get to. But yeah, this was pretty good.
I agree with all that. I thought this movie was quite fine. It is very funny. And I really loved the splicing in of the interviews. I thought that was a really fun thing they did, especially the first time they did it. They did it before they, you know, announced the TV show element of the plot. They spliced in this thing, and you're like, what is happening? So I appreciated that they did that a lot. Very funny. Great, like, really great conversations in this movie as well, like had by brothers and spouses, and conversations that we don't typically get, and just giving these relationships that we already know from the first one room to breathe, which I really appreciated. So yeah, lots to like in this movie. I'll probably woohoo it as well. It'll probably go into my top 10, not top 5 probably, but. Yeah, again, sequels are tricky, but they did a lot in this movie that's really fun. It's a really fun movie. I felt like, you know, I wanted a little more spiciness, a little more. I thought Zane was going to do something to mess stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Zane was going to go in there and, like, cut a wire or something. And so I was disappointed by.
Was he going to cut the blue wire or the yellow or just a wire?
Just any wire.
Okay.
Any wire. And maybe he did, and it just didn't have any ramifications. That is possible.
Cut the wrong wire.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, really good.
Yeah, the movie just, there's even more than all of these seemed very unnecessary, but they found something to do with a sequel, which is very unusual for Hallmark. And I guess at the end of the day for me, I just would spend time with this family. Mm-hmm. Like yeah, in real great. Life, I would yep. spend, I just, and what it boils down to me is the reason this movie is in my top 10, I actually just looked, it's 9 for me as well, Panda.
Yeah.
Same number for me is.
Woo woo, I believe. Woo,
yeah, yeah, which is, great. Is what we're going for. Which Christmas House last year.
I got that sound on discount.
And here's what's wild is last year Christmas House was in my top 5. Mm. And this year, this movie comes in 9, but I think that's representative of the fact that these movies are better this year than they yep. were last year. But Sharon Lawrence and Treat Williams, they do a several times, they do kind of a line-o-rama in this movie yeah. where they're uncomfortable in front of the camera. I could watch that for 90 minutes. I literally could watch it for 90 minutes. Treat Williams acting like he doesn't know how to act and trying to figure it out. Is worth the price of admission in this movie. Does this all work? No. Is it goofy? Does the TV show make sense? Absolutely not. But I would hang out with these people, and the dialogue is funny. They there's a lot of in-jokes here, and Treat Williams and Sharon Lawrence and Terrell Rothery, to some extent, get to get in on the fun. And so, yeah, it's not good, but it keeps a smile on your face, and they found something, a reason for a sequel to exist. So not good, but... I was smiling, so yeah. Sure, why not?
As far as sequels go with Hallmark, it's...
Oh, there was one great. More, Nine Kittens.
Nine Kittens. That's the one. Oh, right, that's the one. Right. That's the one.
And this is better than Nine.
Better than Nine Kittens, 100%. Yeah.
I have Nine Kittens at 15.
Yeah, Nine Kittens is way down the list for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's talk about all the feels. Part of the show, we talk about one of the biggest feels. Panda?
Man, there's a lot of scenes in here that were just wonderful, and I was delighted in. I think for me, my favorite one was the magic guy throughout. I have confusion about him.
I love
him.
The magic guy.
So much confusion.
Marvelous Jim.
Yeah. Marvelous Jim. He, every single time he is on screen is just wonderful. He is delightful. I wish he had actually gotten a little bit more time, mainly because I'm still as confused as ever about him. He's...
Why would you be confused, Panda? In the first movie, he's a living being, and in the second movie, he's like some sort of magical unicorn.
Yeah, that's part of the confusion there.
People grow and change, man.
People grow and change and mature over time. I had a lot of fun though. He's just one of those characters. If you put him on screen, to me, I laugh. Like whenever he's on screen, he's just so ridiculous. It's just fun. I love him.
Yeah, Alonzo.
Yeah, no, I will second that. I love in a sequel when they bother to like go into the deeper cuts and the more secondary characters. So when Marvelous Jim comes back, I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome. What they do with him this time, though, reminds me of, I don't know if you guys know this, but there was a point in the production and maybe even in the shoot of Love Actually, in which it was going to turn out that the Rowan Atkinson character was actually like an angel or something.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Which is why he's always there at the times when, you know, he can make things happen or whatever. They wound up scrapping that, but that was the idea. And I kind of think that's what they did with Marvelous Jim here. Yeah, he did go from being a flesh and blood, thinking about buying the house character to this sort of like, woo, magical Christmas will-o'-the-wisp, you know. But it was okay. I went with that, and I didn't have a problem with that. I think the brother reconciliation scene in the theater lobby is pretty dang good.
Yeah.
It felt like a real conversation that actual people would mm-hmm. have.
Yep.
Which we can never take for granted in these nope. movies. And I liked the fact that it was very clear that Andy was absolutely not interested in Zane anymore, but also interested in being a good co-parent.
Yes.
You know, I think it would have been a really lazy thing to be like, oh, the ex comes back and he's so charming and she just can't. No, she's like, why are you here? What's going on? You need to call first. You know, and so that was it. So he's in no way a threat to the relationship that she has with Mike. It's just a question of, you know, is this going to mess up like the proposal and yada, yada, yada. But yeah, I think, but I got feels from the way that was handled, and definitely by the, when the brothers finally have it out.
Yes. The brother conversation did it for me as somebody with three brothers and as somebody who is famous, a best-selling author.
it's a tough. Conversation. It's tough for your brothers.
These are conversations that have happened to me. Yeah. It's just a lot. It's like, oh, you know. And did my mom say that raising me, like she knows how it was like for Mary to raise Jesus because she had me.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that a true sin? So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I get it. I'm definitely the Mike in the family and I get that. So that conversation worked for me. I also
take down a fig tree. Just telling you that. You
know. And
Bible jokes.
I will also say this. I appreciated that they gave Brandon and his husband, who I don't remember his name,
Jake,
more to do in this movie. It felt like, and they had like really good conversations, and they actually had a real kiss and not just a forehead kiss. And they remember last year where they banged their heads really hard. They had a lot more to do in this movie, which was great. And so yeah, those are my feels.
I had three written down, and I used one in my hot take, and the other two Alonzo said specifically, which is the, and then you said, the brothers talking in the theater lobby, and then the divorce relationship was just real. Like it was I don't want this guy anymore, but he's my kid's dad, and that part of this is very important, and parenting is very important. It is, because we love our kids. And so all of that worked for me in this movie, and like Alonzo said, better than I ever will. Like adult conversations in Hallmark movies, like let's not act like that's the norm. All right, like that is something that we should still point out and say, hey, this happened in this movie. But you know what, Bran? A bunch of people in the old Double Deckers are giving us a hard time.
Yeah, right they're now. Upset.
They are fired up right now because they think that number to put this just in our top 10 to sneak it in is like, you know, really kicking it while it's down. I don't know what they want from us. You know, you want to get in on that chat, guys, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com and join. It is what it is. It's in our, we've watched 30 some of these. We're saying this is in the top 25-30% of them.
And it's the best crop that Hallmark's ever done.
I think, for me, the degree of difficulty that this movie is trying to complete versus some of the ones that are in my top five, I think this movie isn't trying to accomplish and do it.
Just guys getting together, having fun acting. Like it's
good. But
and by the way, to the people that are saying, "Am I going to be struck by lightning?" That is something my mom actually said. It is not a thing that I was making up. She really did compare herself to Mary and me to Jesus. That's on mom, not me. Let's take one more quick break. We'll be right back here at Thank the Hallmark. guys, you know what? As the resident Jesus in the group, I do want to bring up Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Let's talk about it, y'all. Let's talk about
the famous story when Jesus turned water into peanut butter whiskey?
Listen, had it existed, I think he would have. Man, Screwball Peanut Butter
Whiskey goes so well with fish.
It really does. Guys, this stuff's the jam. They've been so kind to us this year, and I'm better for it. They're so great. And it's the perfect addition to the holiday season. You can make any drink festive just by adding Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. You can get it anywhere that you go and get your drinks. And so go and get some before Christmas is gone and you're going to be sad. Go get it and be sure to drink responsibly.
I'm just saying it's one thing for your mother to make that comparison talking to you and the family. It's another thing for you to broadcast it to tens of thousands
of
people.
That is bold.
At that point, it's no longer on her.
Yeah, I'm not saying the best part of that story is my mom said that to somebody at church.
Oh, dear grief.
Wow.
And the person that she said it to was a volunteer in a youth group. And she says, I've been on youth trips with Brandon, and he is no Jesus. He's no Jesus. And you are correct, Sue.
just want to know how we got there, though. I want to know how they got to that conversation.
I don't know, talking about something, I don't know.
Even if my kid was really great, I don't know if I would be able to say that. But like, that's a really...
It's a bold move. It's a bold move. Guys...
You're number nine at best.
Right, 100%, you know what? And in the overall grand scheme of things, that's pretty darn good.
That's not bad
at all. Yeah. I'm the Christmas house two of people. I think that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, I would say that's been it for years.
Guys,
based off of some of the comments, you might have just called yourself Jesus again with that statement, based off of the people who love this movie.
Alonzo's an atheist, and he's uncomfortable with this.
If anybody's going to get struck by lightning here, it ain't me.
Guys, let's talk about the way what. As far as show, we talk about what. And this being made us go, wait, what?
Panda. Is no one worried about the fact that Mike as a child used to go into other people's mailboxes and organize the mail?
Guys,
in this movie, no. No. In this movie, no. This movie has so many ridiculous things in it. The fact that he would sort through their mail makes perfect sense.
It's wild to me that
any
no
other
one
movie. It's a crime. Yes.
Well, it's not even the crime part. I mean, that is
it's an OCD diagnosis. Yes,
for sure. Yeah, like somebody, that's a call for help. Like, I mean, guys, I don't know. That's wild.
I played mailman as a kid.
Yeah, that's fine, but you weren't out there organizing them by size and color.
No,
that's
what I was not doing that. I did not take it to that level.
That's just, it's wild. The mom's ringtone on her cell phone is ducks. I'll just leave it there. Understand.
After Treat Williams is crickets.
Yeah, sure.
What's that about?
I don't know. I'm confused. I don't even know how to phrase this. The fair that they are at the beginning. We all notice different things when talking about the fair. I just
carnival,
the carnival fair, whatever. There's a skee ball machine. I love skee ball.
Oh yeah,
I love skee ball.
Do you really?
I really do.
You big skee ball guy?
Well, I mean, not as much as I used to be, but I loved skee ball.
Me and my dad. Let's go back to what you used to be. What do you mean?
When you say you're big time.
I would go, well, not like big time, as much as you can be. My dad would take me to an arcade when I was a kid.
Sure.
And I would use all of my tokens on skee ball.
Interesting.
I wouldn't play anything else. I love playing skee ball.
All right.
I did the basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was basketball.
Oh, there you go. Basketball. Yeah. I was skee ball. So I've just never seen skee ball outside at a fair. I was very confused by this. This just doesn't seem like an outside activity normally. I've
on uneven
really seen,
ground.
On uneven yeah. ground. It was a weird thing, but I know there were some other activities at the fair we can talk about. Carnival, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Sure. You got any more?
We'll save some more for later.
Are you speaking English right now?
You're going to save some for later?
We'll save some more convert.
Well, I think
for
some
later.
Of these could fall under the hallmark.
Interesting.
So I think.
I didn't know if I needed to come back.
No, you don't need to come back.
Good. I just want to know where to go. Yeah. Alonzo?
Oh, I have a couple. Here's a giant one. And back me up on this. If you're going to have Julia Wise, if you're going to have Terrell Rothery in a movie who's playing a TV lifestyle expert that everybody's thrilled to meet, why is she not Julia Wise?
Why is she not Julia Wise? That makes so much sense.
Why is she not the character from Road to Christmas?
Road to Christmas.
Who was the Martha Stewart with the live Christmas Eve TV show.
100%.
Which they're doing here, a live TV show on Christmas Eve. And everybody's all thrilled to meet her. Just make her Julia Wise.
I didn't even think about that.
What's wild is this. Instead, she has like an occasional Southern accent in this movie, which is weird. It's weird.
No one knew what they were, how that character was supposed to be. The show itself is baffling because it's live, but they've been filming all this back behind the scenes.
Oh, we don't have a clue.
Which is like, I mean, I guess, yes, you want your B-roll and things to cut to, but it's like, none of that.
And then they
really
continue
plays.
To do it afterwards. Like, I just don't know what's happening.
Well, I wasn't sure when the show ended because, then when he's proposing to her, they're still filming it.
But it's also possible that just the finale was live and there had been like episodes leading up to it.
Maybe, but we never saw anybody watch them or talk about them. So,
but there's like a crowd and there's somebody selling merch.
Releasing episodes because
I don't know.
This thing is happening over the course of a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
The whole thing with the car accident. What did the car accident do? Like, they said, oh, the we had an intern who hit the gas instead of the brake or whatever. You're thinking like you're going to see like a bunch of lights snarled up in some wheels or a car embedded in a house. It's nothing.
It's
happened
literally
there.
Nothing. It is the smallest problem of all time. Mm. It's a huge one.
The car
for
accident
me.
Is the whistle sound of this movie, which is that it's not there. You know, again, this is the second movie in a row where they blow a whistle and no sound comes out. Mm. Like they have to work that one out. And then the big one for me was that, what is this play that the parents are in that apparently nobody else is in, that is like weirdly salacious for a, you know, community feel Christmas play? It's not like they're putting on same time next year or something. And there's ads for Sears in the middle of it, which, is there even Sears anymore? Does it come back in 2 years and this movie set in the future? I don't get any of that.
That was a weird bit. That was a very weird bit.
I don't understand.
It was funnier to hear the son describe what the play was than to actually see the play.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't help but wonder, like, was that a Sears product placement? With, like, was it a Sears ad in the middle of a movie?
Were they making fun of themselves, making fun of Hallmark?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
But they used an actual brand.
Yeah, that's very meta, though. Mm. They're making fun of themselves, making fun of a Hallmark movie. Trust.
It's a move.
Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. After all, this is the 9th best film of the year.
So, guys, I gotta. Are you done, Alonzo?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Alonzo, maybe you can help me out here. Maybe I just missed it. So, at the beginning of this movie, he walks out of his where they're filming the show, and out comes. Someone who I assume is his manager saying, hey, I got you this thing, which is to be on the show. Deck those halls.
That's right.
And then,
which she's on the set of the Handsome Justice.
Yes.
Walks out and says, you got to do this.
And I assume at that point, manager, assistant, agent, something like that. But then for the rest of the movie, she's like producing the show, like directing it.
Yeah.
And I, for the life of me, can't figure out who she is and what her job is.
I can't either.
Well, you know, in the 80s, one of the reasons that CAA became really popular was that they would put together what they call these package deals, where the agency represented the director and the writer and the stars, and they would sell the whole package to the studios and they would earn commission on the whole thing. So my guess is that she is his agent, but maybe she's also the show's agent, so that she works on the show. It's very baffling.
And then she produces all the B-roll of the show.
But if she's the show agent, as you do. If she's the show agent, then who was she like fighting for or fight like on his back? I was so like, she is the one running the show. At one point, apparently, she says, guys, we're back in 60. That's not a manager's job at all. I don't know what she is.
Maybe she has a twin.
And I didn't know she was hurt.
Confused the two of them.
She was wild. I wrote down that when they do the shopping scene, Brandon does not get nearly enough lights. And in fact, Mike gets way more lights, and he already has a ton of lights, but then he does steal some stuff, and so it all works out. But you need to get more lights, buddy. And there's lots of more lights to be had. So I don't know how to bring this one up, because I don't know if it was just on our end or our TV or whatever.
Somebody out there help us.
Streaming stuff is wild sometimes, and so I don't know. But everything in this movie sounded crisp. The dialogue, fantastic. And I don't know if you saw this, happen on your end, Alonzo, but the music sounded like it was underwater the whole time.
Yeah.
The piano sounded like it had like a wah-wah pedal on it. It was all very like, but the dialogue was so crisp, and it didn't make any sense to me.
Anybody else hear that?
It felt like like someone dropped the music in the water.
Yeah.
And
I watched it on Philo, and it was fine.
We watched it on Philo, too. Anything.
Maybe.
Yeah, huh.
I don't. Yeah. Someone says yes, muffled music in the chat. So it wasn't just us. I want to know.
Okay.
Maybe they, and listen, we watched the DVR version of the premiere. So I would be interested. One of the fun things with Philo is that it saves every showing. Recent. So you can go into view all showings and you can watch different ones. I'd be interested to go back in another showing like later this week and see if they fix it or what. Because it was wild. It was a wild thing, and it kept happening.
Yes, we thought
like,
it was one scene,
but it wasn't like the Kelly Clarkson music was fine. Like the music that had lyrics was fine. Right. It was the instrumental score,
The score
that was just weird and muffled. I it was the weirdest thing. And last but not least, at about 30-40 minutes into this movie, at least during the premiere. Hallmark does this thing where they say, you're now listening to Kelly Clarkson's Glow.
But you're not.
Not at all. There was no music playing in that. And in fact, an hour later, you know what you hear? Kelly Clarkson's Glow.
Yeah.
Just a interns. Fun, just classic, classic.
Classic Hallmark.
It's a classic jump the gun. We've all been there. We've all jumped the gun. What's that silence you're hearing? It's Kelly Clarkson's
Kelly Clarkson's glow.
Trust us.
Turn it up louder.
Sorry, before Dan digs in, I do have one other one. So, all right. Last movie ends with Mike buying the Christmas house. This movie, he's decorating the girlfriend's house next door while the brother is decorating the Christmas house. Are he and the girlfriend living together in sin in a Hallmark movie? Mm,
that's what we figured out.
That's what we gathered in this movie, which would, that is, you have the as dirty groundbreaking Santa joke? As Christmas House 1 in a lot
it's
of places.
So post Bill Abbott.
I mean, come on. Unbelievable. Ooh,
dirty Santa, people living together. It's a wild world out there, guys.
I know. Yeah, who, the gays, no one's even paying attention anymore. No, no. Way past that.
Run of the mill gays is what
run of the mill gays.
Yeah. Saw them live.
They were just okay.
They were okay.
They were okay.
Not memorable. Not memorable.
Turns out they live up to the name.
Dan?
Yeah. We've just got questions galore about this game show, but I don't really care what the game show is, if it's filmed live or filmed in B-roll when it airs. I do know this. If it's a game show about decorating houses, it is too late in the game to be scouring the world for celebrity contestants in the month you're going to film. That is 100% too late. You can't possibly in December be like, for this year's Deck Those Halls, let's get a celebrity guest. That's just not how life works. That's not how TV production works.
Dan, December is magical so many ways. It's also when all business decisions have to happen. You know, all meetings happen on the 24th.
Yes.
And everything is due then. And every, you know, and for this year, not next year, this year.
Speaking of magical, we can talk about Magic Jim real quick. I will say this, and I said it in the, you know, in an earlier segment, but I don't think I've ever quite seen a character go from one of the characters in the movie, basically normal aside that he from the fact that he runs a magician shop, normal to what amounts to be
magic,
pure unadulterated whimsy.
Yeah,
like he's just appearing places and he works multiple stores. He's hiding rings. He's showing up and winking. Like, how did we get from the guy who runs the magic store to Angel Jim?
He died.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Look out.
Buckle up.
Look out. You're saying it's Ghost Jim?
That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
That's a great theory. Did you guys hear about Ghost Jack?
Dude, I heard something happen, and there's actually a Ghost Jack, and that makes me happy.
But from what I gather, Ghost Jack's whole thing is he shows up and he says, I'm not coming back. Let Elizabeth know. That's Liz. I haven't seen it. I don't know for sure. God, that's a summary I read.
She knows why.
Hey, you convict over there. I'm going to come to you, give you a message. Relay it to me. She's too far away. Ghost is hard.
Somebody in the chat is saying he was magic in the first one. Is that accurate?
I don't remember him being.
I remember him running the magic store.
He's pretty literal in the first one. He wants to buy the house. He drives.
He wants to buy
Beetle.
The house. Yeah. I don't. But maybe, you know, I miss stuff all the time in these movies. They're Hallmark movies.
Katrina Law's in that one.
Yeah, this year, that's her first one.
He's
if I'm not mistaken.
Close up magic in the first movie. That's different.
Oh yeah.
Brandon says in talking about his house and what he's going for is he says the theme of my house is Rockefeller Center meets the gingerbread house of your dreams. Is that a possible theme? And if it is, it's not the one that I saw at the end of the movie. And the houses get very shortchanged at the end of the movie, but what is that supposed to look like? Rockefeller Center meets the gingerbread house of your dreams. Your dreams, not my dreams.
A very big gingerbread house with an ice skating rink, I guess.
I just don't know why we said that line. Let's go back to that carnival briefly where people in the background, they show children who have what looked like giant, like cardboard, used to have paper towel rolls on them, trying to just beat the crap out of like snowmen, and the snowmen aren't moving. And then later they're like, let's play whack a snowman. It's fun.
Like they're like inflatable.
What
right?
is yeah, but yeah, they're inflatable. What's fun about it's whack-a-mole, like the moles disappear.
Yeah.
They're just they're set up like bowling pins. This is not a real game. It's not clearly impossible to knock over. But that makes more sense than the fact that I love math and numbers. Brandon and Mike are playing skee ball and they're taking turns and no one is keeping score. They assume the machine is keeping score, but when you play skee ball, the machine keeps your score for 10 rolls and then it's the next person's turn. They're alternating rolls and someone somewhere is like, all right, you got a 50, you got a 60, you got a 40. How are they keeping that up? And then they look at the screen to see who won. No, no, that's not what happens. If you play an uneven outdoor skee ball machine, you can't assume they know you're playing alternate shots per brother. That's not how that works, people.
It's not like a pinball machine where you can pick player one,
that's
player
right,
two.
Player no, two. That's yeah, that's just not how skee ball works in any way, shape, or form. And then last but not least, they referenced that one year Treat Williams, this could be a what the Hallmark. I'll just make it my What the Hallmark.
All right. That's fine. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Let's get to the What the Hallmark. Actually, first, Star Spangled. Do we have time for it?
We don't have time for it. That's unfortunate.
What? I worked hard on it.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you want to give it a go, Trace? Sure.
There's 13 stripes. There's 50 stars. Who's the winner?
Bengals.
That's right.
Boy, that was all right. Great.
It's time for the What the Hallmark is the part of the show. We wonder what could have been. Maybe I could get some questions that we've got. Panda.
I get that I'm uncertain. I'm not certain what just happened with the all of what the bit.
You wouldn't get it.
It's
if you don't know the answer, we worked on it for an hour in show prep.
I
get one job, yell Bengals. She didn't do it.
Yeah, I know. I that's on me.
I thought we were doing Razzle Dazzle.
I know, that's on you.
And that's Dark
Spangled, so
yeah.
It's heartbreaking. So the last set B roll that they do, where they're all doing the interview, and the kid disappears, right?
Yeah.
And he says, "My kid's magic now. He's really good at magic." I want to understand. Is that I understand it's meant to be played for laughs on some level, but also, is this real that this kid can really disappear and he's developed it's next level magic, right? Like what he did was next.
Yeah.
Like that's so real magic, right?
Is he like the Padawan?
Is he a Padawan? Has he died and he is now like.
What if Marvelous Jim has summoned him to the parallel dimension?
I have so many questions. It was a weird move to do that in this movie that's by and large. Oh, I get it. The movie's weird anyway, this is next. Yes. Like that takes it to the next level. So I have a lot of questions.
Lonzo.
I don't know that it's necessarily meant to be canon in this case, but you know, we'll let them work that out in Christmas House 3.
Yeah.
There's a funny bit at the end where Treat Williams has been hired to play the jury foreman on Handsome Justice and he's terrible. And just wondering, it's a funny bit, but I'm just thinking like at what point does the production tell Mike, look, I'm sorry, your dad ain't cutting it. We gotta fire him and replace him with somebody else. Or does he wield such power that like, no, they have to edit around it and figure out a way to make it work anyway. It just seems like it's going to be very awkward for a lot of people because it's such a nepotism hire and he's clearly out of his depth. But, you know, does he get a union card out of this? I have a lot of questions about that scene.
But gosh, I love Treat Williams.
He's great.
I'm just going to tell you right now, Treat Williams acting like a bad actor asking for lines.
So good, man.
Yeah, just all day.
All day long.
Hilarious.
All day long. Guys, I brought a very quick character. He's the merch guy at the live.
He's wonderful, recording. Too.
There's a guy who has, I believe, made custom merch for just this event. And I need to know who he is. It seems like it's going to be tough It's going to be tough. I don't think you're going to make your money back.
Nope.
Because you know, in order to have different sizes and you got to make a lot.
It's a print on demand kind of thing.
It's tough. So I want to know about that guy. And he did. You team Brandon?
You go online, you find those Handsome Justice NYC fans. And you know,
that's right.
I love it.
Dan.
Two things I'd like to see. And one is the full play of Sharon Lawrence and Treat Williams. I want to see that full play.
It's a crime we didn't get to see.
I want to know everything about it. I have to have it. And then second, they reference in the movie that one year during the Christmas house decoration, Treat Williams drove to another state and came back with 10-story tall blow-up candy canes. I think we're grossly underestimating just how big 10 stories is. And also, if they're inflatable, how are they just just the sheer mounting of that? If you just mount an inflatable at the bottom, once it gets past one story, it gets wonky. I just would love to see what all went into that contraption, because that's something right there, guys. Yeah, that's something. But I would love to see both of those things.
Yes.
Steel reindeer was dicey enough, but yeah, you're right.
10 stories.
That's, sheesh. Yeah, no.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. We're back tomorrow with the final Dr. Lifetime Uncorked of the year, which is Mistletoe in Montana. Mm. Melissa Joan Hart.
Same director as Christmas in Montana. Find out if we get the same results. Spoiler alert.
Find out if I ever want to go to Montana tomorrow. Hey, Alonzo, you got anything you want to pitch, promote real quick before we go?
Is there a book you've written recently?
I did write a book with these wonderful gentlemen that you've heard about by this point called I'll Be Home for Christmas Movies. You can follow me on Twitter at A Duraldi, A-D-U-R-A-L-D-E. Head over to therap.com, T-H-E-W-R-A-P. I just posted my list for top 10 lists for 2021 and my worst 10 films of 2021. You'll probably think I'm wrong, but, you know, take a look anyway. I need the clicks.
You love lists.
You're a big list guy.
This is what you live for.
I will be doing one for you guys, and then I'm done for a while.
There you go. Can't wait.
For 11 months-ish, yes.
Until next time, maybe the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights